Krisos Perk Aleph Mishnah Gimel 1-3. So we finished talking about when one brings the Chatas Kavua, the standard Chatas offering, sin offering for various sins. Now, there are sometimes obligations to bring a Chatas offering, a sin offering, when one didn't do actually a sin per se. And the first example of that is a Yoledes, one who gives birth. When a woman gives birth, she has to, before she becomes fully Tahor, she's called Mechusar Kippurim. She lacks certain of completeness of her purification until she brings Karbanos. Namely, she has to bring both an Ola and a Chatas. Now, the Ola, if she can afford it, should be a Keves, a male sheep, okay? And if she can't afford it, then she should bring an Ola in the form of a bird, Ola Sa'of. She also brings a Chatas, and that's going to always be a bird, so it's a Chatas Of, meaning that if she can't afford it, it's the usual pair of birds, one Ola, one Chatas. If she actually could afford it, then it's kind of an unusual situation where she brings a Chatas Of without an Ola Sa'of. She brings the Ola will be a male sheep, okay? In any event, the point of mission is going to be that sometimes this Chatas that she brings, which is the bird, sometimes it's going to be brought with certainty, in which case the Chatas will be eaten. Sometimes it's going to be brought out of uncertainty, a suffix, in which case the Chatas won't be eaten. And sometimes there'll be no suffix that she doesn't need to bring it, in which case she'll bring no Chatas at all. Now, our mission really is divided into three separate Mishnayos. The first mission will discuss the certain scenarios, the definite obligation to bring a Chatas. Then the next mission will discuss the suffix, not sure if she has to or not bring, in which case she brings a Chatas, but it's, since it's out of doubt, the Kohen will not eat that Chatas. And then the third Mishnah, meaning Mishnah Hey, will talk about scenarios where there's definite obligation to bring a Chatas whatsoever. Now, if you'll ask the question, I thought we never bring a Chatas out of doubt. That's true, generally, and we'll discuss that in the next Mishnah, okay? But for right now, this Mishnah is going to focus on scenarios where one is certainly obliged to bring a Chatas after the miscarriage. And the basic reason why is because she gave birth to a Vlad, which is a certain Vlad, meaning it's a definite Vlad. And that means it's Mechayevet, it obligates her to bring a Korban. Now, this, if you learned this Mishnayos in order, we didn't learn Bechoros too long ago, and this will sound very familiar, because the rules for a Bechor are very similar to the rules here we're saying about bringing a Chatas. Meaning, if a woman has a miscarriage, but the thing she miscarries has the status of a Vlad, like of a stillborn but a developing person, so then she'll have to bring the Karbanos, including the Chatas, but also then the next child that's born will not be considered to be the Bechor. This Vlad will be the Peterechem, the thing that opens her womb. Therefore, the definitions of when it counts to be the Peterechem, that the next child will not be a Bechor, are basically the same, and therefore this Mishnah will seem, or this Mishnah will sound quite similar to topics we discussed back in Bechoros not long ago. In any case, here the Mishnah says inside, Yesh mevius korban v'nechal. Some women who have miscarriages have to bring a korban chatas, and then chatas is eaten. V'yesh mevius v'eino nechal. Sometimes a woman will be in doubt if she's obliged to bring a chatas for her miscarriage, and therefore she will bring one but won't be eaten. It's a suffix. And there are certain scenarios where even though she had a miscarriage, there's no obligation whatsoever, certainly no obligation to bring karbanos at all. And here in our Mishnah Gimel, it's Elu Mevios Karban V'Nechal. These are the following scenarios where a miscarriage obligates a woman to bring Ola and a chatas, and a chatas will be eaten because it's certainly obligatory on her to bring a chatas. The first is Hamapelas Kamin Behema Chai Va'of Divrib Meir. According to Rav Meir, if the woman has a miscarriage and the fetus that's born has no resemblance to human being whatsoever, but it looks like a large terrestrial, like a mammal or a bird, so then according to Rav Meir, that also is Machayev her to bring Chatas because that's considered to be a Vlad. He based that on a Pasuk. The pasuk is the psukim. Actually, back to the very beginning, Bereishis refers to the creation of the chayos and the ophos, and the verb there of Hashem creating, like forming those creatures, is vayitzer. So the pasuk says vayitzer Hashem Elokim min haadama kol chayas hasadeh veis kol of hashamayim. So you see that the formation of the animals and the birds is vayitzer. The word is formation, yitzira. And when it comes to human being, it says, V'yitzer Hashem Elokim Esa Adam. Hashem formed the person, the human. So says Rav Meir, that Pesukim will come and tell you that the Yitzira is comparable, that even if you have a miscarriage that it resembles an animal, like a large, like terrestrial, like a mammal, or for that matter, a bird. So then it's got their comparable yisiras. The pasuk come and tell you that she still sits, treats it as a vlad, and it's has the halachas of a vlad. So she'll bring the karbonos out of certainty. The chacham omrim ad shehebo mitzura sa'adam. The chacham reject that. They say no. It must look like a person. At least the face of it must have the resemblance to a human face, as opposed to just an animal face. And there are those of them because it says mitzura sa'adam, which like the extra mem there is telling you at least like half the face has to be human resembling. Okay, and the halacha is like the chachamim, which means if the miscarriage involves a stillborn thing that has no resemblance to human beings whatsoever, then it's like the chacham that actually she will not bring a that won't count for anything. That won't consider petarechem. She won't bring karbonos for that. Mishnah goes on to say, hamapelis sandal. If a woman gives birth to a thing that's referred to as a sandal is like a piece of meat she miscarries, which has like no limbs coming out of it. It's just flat. And so many learn the pshat in sandal is referring to the same way that the English word sandal. It's like, you know, the leather at the bottom of the shoe. It's sort of just like it's a flat piece of hide. So too, this thing that comes out of her is just like flat without any like limbs separating off it. There's another pshat that sandal refers to sanui vidal. It's a notrikon, like a portmanteau of two words. Sanui is like, you know, despised, and dal lowly, because the poor thing is just, it's gross, right? Just a piece of flesh. The sandal happens when there are actually two babies in utero, and one baby sort of squishes the other one. Okay, so therefore, a missionary is saying that the other one, which came out as a sandal, is just a flat, undifferentiated piece of flesh, also has a status of a vlad, because it would have been a viable child had the other sibling in utero not squished it, not the twin hadn't squished it. Okay? If you'll ask, and therefore we're saying if the sandal comes out, that already is mechayev to bring the karbonos. If you'll ask the question, well, wait a second, there's another baby here anyway, so why is it relevant? If there's always a sandal coming with another twin, so then it's the twin which is mechayev, not the sandal. So that is true, but you can come up with scenarios where the twin isn't mechayev. And Tosos gives an example, a far example, that, for example, if the woman, you know, had the converted to being Jewish between giving birth to the regular baby and the sandal, for example. I can think of other examples, like, for example, if the real baby is taken out of a cesarean section, and the sandal came out as a miscarriage, so then the point is the sandal is mechayev the karbonos, bevadai, as a miscarriage because it's considered a vlad. Okay, next, oshilia. Oshilia is the amniotic sac. The baby grows in the mother's stomach, in tummy, whatever, in her abdomen, inside a sac. Okay, so the sac comes out, often referred to as the afterbirth or part of the afterbirth. But the principle is that the body wouldn't develop an amniotic sac, a shilia, if there weren't a vlad inside there also. Which means even if after the miscarriage happens, we can't find the actual developing fetus, since there's an amniotic sac there, a shilia, so we're confident that there had been a vlad here, and then something happened to it. Maybe it dissolved in the body, it's gone lost, it's mixed with the mess here. But the point is, if you have a shilia, the tradition is therefore we know there was a vlad there, and therefore seeing the shilia, the amniotic sac, is mechayev the karbonos, bevada, and therefore she brings the chatas, and the chatas is eaten. Also, vishvir murukam. If it's shvir, shin pei resh means kind of like a something like a container that holds something, like a shofar is like a hollow tube, the horn of the animal, or shofar, it shall bait, so we have in Shabbos there, in Bemelikin, like an egg shell, it's like a thing outside and the thing inside. So shvir means like this, I'll call it the skin that holds the fetus, the baby inside of it. So murukam means literally kind of knitted together. Okay, the point is that there's like flesh, meat inside of the skin. So this thing, child is born, it's a stillborn, it's small, but the point is there's like a skin of, and inside the skin there's like, you know, flesh that's come together, knitting together, as opposed to just like loose liquid, okay, which we'll talk about in the couple Mishnayos from now. Point is, Shvir Merukam, if there's a small developing baby here, then that counts as being a vlad, and therefore when she brings bevadai. Again, we'll see later on, it has to be she was pregnant for at least 40 days. Okay, the 4 days gestation since conception, then the shvim rukam, if it's a thing here, then you have to sit, you have to treat it as a vlad, etc. But yotze mechutach, if it comes out in pieces, this is a scenario where, God forbid, let's say the child wouldn't come out, so they had to cut it from the inside so she can get out of her. Let's say it was a breech baby, didn't have a way to get it out of her. The point is, even if it came out in pieces, since it all came out and it was a fetus inside, that doesn't matter. Now that it's cut up, she treats it as if it's a vlad, brings karbonos bevadai, etc. V'chein shivcha shehipila mevia korban v'nechal. This is different. This is saying if the woman who miscarried was a shivcha, meaning a shivcha kananis, a non-Jewish slave girl, she also brings korbanos, which are eaten. Now, you probably didn't think about it so much, but the rule is that an eved kanani and a shifcha kananis, non-Jewish slaves, so they are like quasi-Jews, okay? They're not fully Jewish, but they have to keep mitzvahs like a Jewish woman. So that means if a person takes a shifcha kananis or eved kanani, that slave keeps kosher, that slave keeps Shabbos, okay? And the truth is they're quasi-Jewish, meaning as soon as if you emancipate them, you free them, then they become Jewish automatically. But here, the point is that since the Shifcha Kananis is obligated to mitzvahs like any other Jewish woman, so she has to bring korbanos as well, and so she has a miscarriage, or for that matter, a regular healthy baby, she'll bring the korbanos of the Chatas and the Ola. Now, if you'll ask, well, that's so obvious, why would Mishnah even mention it? The rule is a general rule. Every time a Shifcha does anything, she has obligations like a Jewish woman. So the answer is, you might have thought that since we're saying it's like she has to be obligated like a Jewish woman, you might have thought in mitzvahs where it's not like a common denominator, shevel chol nefesh, for Jewish men and women alike, you might have thought that doesn't apply to a shifcha kananis and eved kanani. In other words, just speaking out for a second, the rule is that a shifcha kananis, this non-Jewish slave girl, has the mitzvahs like a Jewish woman, okay? But you might have thought that's because, like, Jewish men and Jewish women have different obligations, but obligations which apply even to women, like men, are like applicable to every Jew, and therefore there are the common mitzvahs, and that like Shabbos and Kashrus, which should apply to a shifcha kananis as well. But you might have thought, for example, that a man never has an obligation to bring this, the korbanos of a yoledes. A man can never give birth to babies. A man never brings this chatas and this ole. So you might have thought that the shifcha kananis also is exempt, but that's just a wrong thought. Shifcha kananis is treated just like a Jewish woman in terms of mitzvah obligations through and through, including the obligation to bring the chatas and the ola. When she brings her chatas, the kohanim are going to eat it.